Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Byrne. It's time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and I'm just checking in on you. How are you? I am in Warsaw, Poland, and I actually have a special guest, my only friend here, the only person I really know in Poland, Mr. Paul Verzi. Paul, how are you?
How are you, Bill? Thanks for having me here.
Excellent. Maybe I'll do it like this. I'll just sit there and I'll try to move this because I don't have the equipment that I need. Paul.
Yeah.
Since we last spoke.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long time since you've been on the podcast, but this week we've been to Germany, Estonia, Latvia, Hungary, and Poland.
Yeah.
And it's been a great time.
Hands down, Budapest.
Hands down, Budapest.
Hands down, Budapest.
Budapest. Last night, Budapest was, they were all great, but Budapest was so good. Last night, I was on stage, and I had that thought in my head, like, dude, I think I'd tape a special here.
That felt like a hot American crowd.
Yeah.
It didn't matter we were in Hungary. They were ready. It was great.
Latvia was the best heckles.
Latvia, I enjoyed Latvia.
Yeah.
There was a couple times in Latvia where you felt alone up there, but dude, Estonia. Well, 10 minutes before I go on stage, and granted, I'm going cold. The only thing I got is Kenny going, we have a special, you're really going to love him.
Yeah.
Right? Club Soda Kenny, shout out to him. He brings me up, and 10 minutes before I go up, the guy goes, yeah, stand-up's only been here for 8 years. It got introduced in 2010. And I was like, that's a little unnerving to hear before you go out there. But, like, yeah, they were dressed up really nice. The theater was beautiful.
Yeah.
And you go into something, and it was just, it's like you said, man, those Baltic states, it was fucking a little.
There's a little bit something, like, different. They're very, very fucking smart and logical. Estonia was, like, the best-looking crowd. They were, like, dressed so nicely. I felt like out of place.
The theater was too nice for what we were saying.
Yeah.
But Munich was also like Budapest.
Munich and Budapest were fucking. And Munich was a 3:30 show when they were a hot crowd. But all of them have been great. But like those were the two cities that you didn't have to even think that you were over somewhere. But like so. Anyways, I've been on the road with Verzi now for like a week, and I'm a moody son of a bitch. So I know I'm driving him nuts. But you know what's funny is, dude, your way of talking. Like I was just joking. Like what did you just say? Like volume it up.
Volume up.
Yeah, you said volume it up. Like, I was trying to figure out, because the recording seemed like, you just have your own way of speaking, and I have to try to figure out what the fuck you're talking about. I'm like, well, this is coming too, it's too quiet on a recording, and you're just going like, well, you know, just volume it up.
Well.
Like, volume it, you mean turn up the volume. Right before you came in, what'd you say, wiped it down with Windex. They Windexed it down.
Well, imagine if they went, yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, too, my mother, I got this from my mother. My mother always says, turn the lights. We don't say turn the lights on and off. We say.
Cut the lights.
No, not cut the lights. What is it? Oh, fuck. I forgot. I have another thing, and my wife goes, I never heard that. Turn the lights up? No, turn the lights off?
You don't even know. This. Your language is so crazy. You don't even know what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't say turn the lights the way that other people do.
Dude, the funniest shit today. So we're leaving Budapest.
Oh, this is great.
And we've been taking these small propeller planes and shit because, you know, they're short little flights here. And so it's one of those deals. You go to the gate and then you get on a bus. And then you take the bus out to the propeller plane. And you know what I like about them? They don't give a fuck. If your bag doesn't fit, they're like, yeah, just shove it under the seat. Stick it on the seat next to you. It's not like this fucking post 9/11.
Yeah.
You know? Why are you being hostile? Get your bag off the fucking plane the way they are in the States. So I get on the thing, the bus. Verzi got on the bus first. And I said, and he had a weird looking face. What's up? He said, dude, you just missed it. This guy just asked me to sit next to him, like some total like gay shit. Like he like pat the seat next to him, like saw Paul.
Yeah.
And he pat on the seat or whatever, right? So like I'm like, really? I go, well, maybe it's like a European thing or whatever. But I did think it was weird because the bus was so big and there was all these seats. Yeah. So then later, Verzi's looking at the guy and he's laughing at him going, dude, look at his little hat. His hat doesn't fit his head. And I'm just looking over it. And I knew it wasn't Jewish. I knew it was something religious. It turned out it was like a Muslim.
It was definitely bigger than a yarmulke.
Yeah, it's bigger than a yarmulke. So it was like, it was the Muslim hat, right? And then we finally realized, I'm looking at the guy, and he looks just like Verzi. And I'm going, wait a minute. This guy's probably Muslim, thought you were Muslim. He's in fucking Budapest and he wanted to hang with you. And then he ends up, and then what's funny is he was freaking you out. Yeah. And then, and your seat was like 10B, and Kenny goes, "Watch, he'll probably have 10A." And then the fucking guy did. Yeah, he gets on, he's got 10A. And then he goes up to you and goes, are you Arabic?
But the one thing, so Bill was right, but the one thing you left out in the story is when I did get on alone, when he said, for people that don't know me, I'm kind of, like even you said, I get a little too nice with my small talk, like, "Oh, so it snowed here, huh?" Like the obvious shit, right?
Dude, you talking to that kid with the sneakers that went on forever.
Yeah, yeah. So I could just talk to a stranger. My grandfather was like that, right? So I look at this guy, I smile, and he smiles back overly, like too much. And then he goes, he said something I didn't understand. And then he patted the seat next to him and looked at me like, "Hey, I have this seat waiting for you." And that made me like a little weird because it was all empty.
Right.
So I'm going, "Oh, shit, maybe this guy..." So, but Bill says, "Dude," he goes, "he may think you're Muslim." So sure enough, like he said, the guy comes next to me. Couldn't have been sweeter. I go, "Sorry about the bed." "No problem, no problem." And then he leans over and I'm just going, "Fuck." And I'm going, "Fuck, dude, Bill is right." Not that it's bad that you were right. But he goes, "Are you Arabic?" And I go, "What?" And then I go, "What?" Because then he goes, "Arabic, you Arabic?" And he like pointed to my face. And I go, "No." And he goes, "You look Arabic." And I go, "Motherfucker, Bill was right."
Oh, that's the best.
He literally wanted me to sit with him. He thought I was Muslim. How fuck? And I thought he was gay.
You thought he was a gay guy with a little hat. That's the funniest shit ever.
Oh, my God, dude.
All right. I want to talk to you because this is something that is gradually going into your act, which I think is going to make you stand out. And it's going to be your voice. And it is your ideas of luxury.
Yeah.
Your ideas of leisure.
Amenities.
Amenities. You're big into amenities. Like if there's a mint on your pillow when you come back, you feel like that means something.
It does. And this is why I love working with you. Not only that we're friends, you got class. Remember in back to school? You know what I like about you, Mr. Mellon? You got class. He goes, "I rubbed off from you, Buzzy." The guy that redid his college dorm. Remember he made the college dorm? He knocked down walls. No, but you go, you like your five star. You know, you're not a cunt about it, but you like nice shit. You know, I love nice shit.
I stayed in a bunch of Super 8s
in
Motel 6s. Yeah, but I don't stay at the fucking Ritz-Carlton penthouse.
No,
shit.
But I like working with you too because you just like, you know, certain things and I like that. But so I love the little things. I love the slippers. I love the chocolate. No, dude, I love the
joy that you get out of it. It's just so fucking funny.
I don't know why those little things mean something.
Because those slippers, dude. If you got those slippers for Christmas, you'd be like, "Is my wife cheating on me?"
Yeah,
these things are so fucking cheap.
They're awful.
They never fit your feet. But you come in like, "Dude, did you see the robe?"
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God,
I don't know why.
Dude, Bill, they had chocolates.
Yeah, you would think that I was raised. You would think that I was raised on the streets.
I don't know what it is, but you're sitting there. We were on the airplane going like, "Dude, you know, we should start an airline. First of all, like that costs like billions of dollars." And he goes, "We call it luxury air." And I immediately go, "I wouldn't fly that." You're like, "Why? You wouldn't fly that?" Because it's just too on the nose. It's trying too hard.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd go in there and there'd be like, you know, like a faucet that was like gold, but it wasn't real gold, but it was golden color. Like, look at the luxury.
An imitation Rolex.
Yeah, all of that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were trying to come up.
But you would fly an airline that had 25 all first class seats, leathered out, all beds.
All right, this is what we were talking about.
Right.
When I was talking, like, that there's a difference between, like, classy and gaudy. There's refined, and then there's showing off. And there's just certain people. Well, I don't know if either one is right. No. Like, if I look at, like, a Ferrari.
Right.
A guy my age can drive a Ferrari and not look like an asshole. If you keep yourself in shape, and you can tell, like, this guy's, he's into, like, he knows how to work on cars. He worked his way up. I'm not talking about some fucking jerk off, you know, pinky ring type of thing.
Right.
But like a Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. A Lamborghini is a young man's car. That's for like you're in your 20s, you're shirtless, you got like a cheetah on like a fucking leash. I feel like the Lamborghini is obnoxious, where the Ferrari is the shit.
More right.
Like they, like if they were people, like the Lamborghini would be walking around talking about how much money it had, where the fucking the Ferrari guy would be like chill.
See, here's the thing. My Greek side is the classier. But oh, okay. My Sicilian kind of goes in and is like and we have that battle.
But, yeah, but see, both of those cars are Italian. They're both made by Italians, though. So.
No, I know, but that's why, see, I like the chain. I love the gold chain. It's like part of me. I love it, but
like
I can't
when you
go
got a gold
ring.
Chain, you literally said that the gold chain completed you.
Yeah, yeah, yes. You and Giannis love that. Giannis almost cried when I said that. Yeah, the gold chain just did something, but I can't go pinky ring. That's where I draw the line. So yeah. I think that that's the Greek where it's like, no, you can't. Where my father, 100% full-blooded Italian, the whole thing, he just goes. Yes.
He's like into the jewelry.
He goes the whole thing.
Would you go second chain?
I would go second chain if it complemented this the right
it'd
way. Come, yes.
Yeah. So that's the high watermark, that chain.
Yeah, I mean, I would go one more.
No. But I'm saying, but the other one would complement it. You wouldn't then.
Maybe even like a little thinner than this around it. It would complement it. That's it.
Oh, okay. Just an accent.
An accent. You'd look good in a chain.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't get a chain?
No,
I think if you had a thin rope, it would look good on you. A thin one.
Yeah, but then I would start looking like something that I'm not. Which I'm not some
fucking... Did you ever wear a chain with a cross, ever?
I grew up in the 80s. Of course I did. Okay. I had the... but I wanted the smooth one around, and my mother got me the one that's like that, which wasn't in style then. The other one was the total Guido fucking...
Oh, okay.
The flat...
Oh, you had the rope?
I had like what you had.
Oh, you had this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, there's a certain thing about if you have a chain, there's a certain level of shit you're going to talk. There's a certain level of you know, there's something, you know, you can go out and get. I would wear it something like that if I was playing a character in a movie, but like, no, I'm not a chain guy.
No. Are you a leather jacket guy? You'll wear a nice leather?
Yeah, I like leather jackets, okay. But not like, but I wouldn't get a motorcycle one. I get one that was like really like top leather, but it was like I'm wearing it because it's
nothing loud.
Because it's cold outside.
Yeah, you're not a
leather. Yeah, I'm not trying to wear it to be like, oh, look at my leather coat. I can't pull it off, dude. I'm a fucking pasty Northern European guy. You know, I didn't grow up in Southie when Southie was Southie. I wasn't like one of these. You know,
right?
I mean, I didn't care about fighting somebody else until I got to junior high, and everybody else grew, and I didn't grow. And then kids really could fucking fight. Once I started seeing people getting their teeth knocked out and noses broken, I was just like, all right. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go into this world. I'm too fucking slow. You know? I have the anger to do this, but I'm going to lose. And you know, redheads, dude, you barely touch us. We look like we fucking fell off a motorcycle. We just bruise so easily.
Were you ever you're not a sneaker guy. Were you ever like a...
I liked sneakers when I was a kid, and I do like some old school ones. But I got to admit, that subset of American culture where, you know, you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s, and you're still dressing like it's the first day of school at the bus stop, where you have like the brand new... Like, you've made me like respect Jordans. I like them in that type of shit. But it is hilarious to me that we've... worked some of the greatest theaters in America, and you walk out with a pair of sneakers on, and like, you know, you chain out and shit like that. And to you, that's like dressing up. But where I'm from, like, what's his face? Nate Cordry. I worked with him on The Heat, and we were joking about Boston. We were shooting there, and he goes, dude, it's like totally acceptable in Massachusetts to show up to a holiday party wearing like a Tom Brady jersey. Like people be like, oh, you got the away one. Oh, that's cool. I like that. It's got the Super Bowl patch on it. So I came from more like a sports culture like that. But there is something I think it's because of being in this business, which has so much shit about your age. You know, you got to always try to look younger. You got to do all this shit. Oh, he's fucking women, bitch. Like that doesn't happen to guys, too. You know what I mean? Like if you go bald, that doesn't affect the fucking parts you get off for. So I, as usual, my cunty way, rather than giving into that and getting the hair plugs and fucking trying to, do whatever, I steer into my, I keep myself looking good, but it's just like, I'm willing to lose whatever I'm going to lose to not come out the other side with the fucking ant leg caterpillar hairs coming out of the top of my head. right. and fucking, you know, face yanked back and shit. And I'll tell you what's fucked up, dude, is being in this business long enough. You know, you're going to see it right now at 40.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're going to see is you're going to see the first few people that you start out with go crazy. Someone's going to go legit crazy. Someone's going to quit. It's weird when they quit. 40's a fucked up one for people. Because people start panicking. If they don't have something going on, they're going like, this is my last porthole to get out of this shit and actually have a legit career. Because I have this 20-year gap now in my fucking resume that I went out and I told jokes and shit. And then you'll see the other people that just double down. They got nothing going on. And then they start getting a little Botox. You know, the shoe polish is going into the fucking...
No, they start throwing Hail Marys.
It's not Hail Marys at this point, but there's definitely... They're throwing the hook and lateral. It's definitely a halfback option.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they
the fake, running back's throwing the pass.
The fake punt. Yeah, the fake punt's coming out around this time. So
it's scary, man.
The thing is when I was, I'm going to say what we were talking about, but we were, you know, the business thing that I was talking to you about, how you carry yourself in this fucking business,
right?
Is there's that thing where you got to want it, but you can't chase it. You have to really believe in what it is that you're doing and stick to that. With this weird thing where you have to be flexible if what you're doing isn't working. But if you, you know, if you're not hurting anybody, you're not being malicious, and you really have this fucking thing that you want to do, you have to stay on that thing. And when people tell you no, you don't take it personal, but then you don't keep chasing them. When they say no to you, you keep doing your thing, you keep fucking killing, and all of a sudden they start hearing about you, then they come to you, and then it's everything that they said before is water under the bridge, and you have to let it go. You can't ever do that, hey, motherfucker, you fucking said no to me back in 96. Because they're not going to remember it.
No, and it's not. And
you're just going to come off and look like a fucking insecure asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember what you said to me like 5 years ago. I had just moved into the house upstate. And I go, I remember I wanted to get the Tonight Show. I wanted to get something.
Uh-huh.
And you go, why the fuck are you auditioning for that? Like, they're going to hear about you and then they're going to want you. And I literally thought when I got off the phone, I'm like, not thinking you're delusional. You've been in the business longer than me, but I'm going like, Bill's 10 years ahead of me. Like, what's he talking about? It's easy for him to say, right? You know, he's not in an angry way, but just like, I'm trying to get something. Like, he's there. You know, I'm trying to get something. And then, like, sure enough, like last year, I did this monster set at Gotham, and the booker of the Tonight Show was there. And he was just like, hey, dude, I don't, yeah, just send me like whatever. And you know, obviously I want to work on it this year. And time went by. I was working on the special. So it didn't happen the way I wanted to yet, but he just goes, yeah, send me some. And it was just weird how he did kind of say, I don't even need a tape. Well, just let me know, send a transcript. Like tell me.
Yeah,
I was literally like, oh, my God, that does happen.
Yeah, but no, dude, I chased it. I chased it right up till about 2001, 2002, and that's when I said, fuck this. But I did the whole thing when it was like whatever the look was. I tried to have the look, you know, the fucking goatee. You know, I got old stand-up clips, you know, everybody had a goatee, so I grew a fucking goatee. I had like, you know, it's funny now is now people will look at those things and they'll make comments like they figured it out, which is one of the things that I like. Like literally people listening right now, you guys are ruining so much shit that you could fucking, you know, I don't know. Like I saw there was something on Twitter today. It was like, check out all these cool clips of people hanging out in Hollywood and all these fucking amazing parties and shit that no longer happen because social media ruined it. Yeah. And it's just like, and I know everybody go, oh, boo hoo, they can't fucking hang out with their fucking infinity, all their pools. It's just like, dude, I remember when I came in the business, like, that's all you wanted to hear. All those stories about so and so going to the Playboy Mansion, all these crazy fucking parties and all of that type of shit. And the thing was they were fun. And now everybody's sitting there acting like every fucking party there was some sort of, like, I don't know what, Me Too thing that happened, and everybody just had their fucking dick out and shit. And it's just like, it's just, this. It was a total fucking overcorrection now. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That people are going to run from this shit. Remember the alt scene for a while? They were acting like the alt scene was going to bury, like, comedy clubs. And then that just ended up fizzling out. Now
comedy clubs are thriving.
Thriving.
Right now.
And now all those dudes are slithering back into the comedy clubs.
Right.
And it's just like all of that shit, like any sort of, like, extreme thing like that, it can't sustain itself. It just eventually, what happens is, it's not that it goes away.
It teeters.
It levels out.
Yeah.
Because right now, like, the behavior that was wrong is going to be reported from here on out. But now they're just going like, that's like that joke that I do in my act. It's like now, whether somebody did something or not, somebody has to get in trouble. Like they have to throw a body on the fire every 4 to 6 weeks just to keep it in the news.
Yeah.
Which,
well, I have a theory. I think what's going to happen is, I think with the whole Me Too thing and everything, I think what's going to make it die down, and I could be wrong, but I think things are going to start coming out about females that did stuff.
No. That's a fucking pipe dream, because shit has and nothing happens to him. It's just, why are you being petty?
Actually, you know what? That Nick Cannon thing.
Yeah, that Nick Cannon thing. They're all going, why are you being so petty, Nick? It still was the guy's fault. Where if somebody fucking did that to a guy, if those were all guys.
Nick Cannon's looking out for his friend and he just found something.
If he just said, hey, man, if I don't want to do this because I don't want to get the people that he said in trouble.
No, of course.
Because all of their tweets that I read were clearly them joking around.
They're all jokes, though.
They're all jokes.
The point is, it's all jokes.
They are.
When Kevin Hart did his, he was joking. It was 10 years ago.
It was in his stand-up act.
And these are comedians.
Yeah, and they're acting like they heard him say this at a party with no setup and punchline. I don't want to keep bringing this up because I don't want him to keep mulching that over, because I'm sure he wants to fucking move on from it. But it is like this. No, it's just this fucking thing now where everybody's going to. They get. All right, let's talk. They get that fucking guy John Legend shit. Because when he took a pic, because he wrote music for that dude's movie, and it's like, what, he's supposed to be standing in his shower to be knowing what the fuck he's doing?
Yeah, like, you don't know what somebody's done if you went to their party in years earlier. You don't know.
Yeah, I Paul, you, as well as I know you, I don't know what you do.
Well, I mean, we call each other enough to bitch about it.
I know, but
yeah,
it's not like
you don't know, right.
Paul, at what point would you ever call me up and say, oh, Bill, you wouldn't believe this, man. One time I took my dick out and I was blocking this door. You would never tell me that.
No, the thing is, I never did that.
But that's what I'm saying. I shouldn't have said you, but whatever. Yeah. But if you knew somebody like that, then it'd be like, how could you have been friends with this guy? It's like, he didn't fucking tell me that shit.
Yeah.
There's people who are friends with people at work and it finds out they're like a fucking serial killer. How could you take a picture with this guy? He'd already murdered 40 people. It's like, well, he wasn't bringing that up when we were fucking hanging around the water cooler.
Yeah, you know, too, man, like, I feel like a lot of these head coaches, we were talking about this before, like, you got 53-man roster, and you love them, and one of them does something, and then they're like, this piece of shit new, and it's like, you know, it's tough.
Oh, yeah, man. That becomes that.
That becomes that, and then all of a sudden it's like, this program is corrupt and everything. Like,
everybody knew, and everybody.
Everybody knew, and everybody, it's like, not everybody knows.
Dude, I remember, I'm not going to say names, but one comic got in trouble. And this guy tried to suggest that the entire comedy club all got together and protected this guy. And I almost did a spit take. It's like the second that guy got in trouble, all anybody underneath him was thinking is, great, now I can get his spots. I mean, they just don't. And it's always people who aren't in the fucking business. It's just they don't understand how fucking cutthroat this business is. It's no different than I imagine if you're in the oil industry. You know, if you're on Wall Street, just all of it. When you're going for something that in the end, at least back in the day, you're going to have a yacht, dude, and there's going to be models on it, like your fantasy when you're in your 20s. Like the shit that people are willing to do.
Dude, I remember after I did my second show ever in New York City, I crushed. And I walked off and I literally was like, dude, I'm going to be. Like, you start thinking, you're like, oh my God, like, because you're like, nobody could do, you don't realize that there's other people out there.
Yeah.
You know, when you first start doing it, you're like, I'm going to be a fucking, you know,
no, you come
big.
To the business, the first thing everybody thinks is, I'm going to win an Oscar. I'm going to have a fucking special and all that type of shit. And then once, what I've liked about this business in the last 10 years is I've actually figured out where I want to be in it. So any of that shit I would love to still happen or whatever, but like, it's just like, if I could just travel, I mean, we're in fucking Warsaw right now. Oh, like, man. I just looked out there and I'm looking at this shit. I can't fucking believe I'm here. I can already tell this is going to be like Budapest. Where I remember when we were walking around Budapest yesterday, I was like, Paul, I was just, I like this place, man. These people are fucking cool. And I got that vibe from the dude who drove us over here. He was funny.
I had the opposite vibe in Estonia. When I saw the guy and he was like, oh, kid, you drive. And I was like, this might not go. This ain't. You know,
yeah.
And then when I got to Budapest, and that woman was like, "Oh, here," and she said, "My mother-in-law, and if your throat hurts, take this." And all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh, it's going to be great." I got the same vibe here. How funny is it that I saw like a Kia Motors building and a Fortnite poster, which made me think of my son. And I'm going, "They're going to be great here," you know. But I will tell you this, Bill. I noticed this. I told you we were on a train from Munich to Frankfurt, and I just started watching people. You know, and people are the same. Like, I saw this 80-year-old woman, and they gave little candies out in the thing. and she took whatever her daughter or whoever didn't, and I saw her get her purse and open her purse like my grandmother used to do with cookies. My grandmother was like, I don't know if it was from when she grew up, because she came here. My grandmother came to the United States 10 years old from Sicily, didn't speak a lick of English.
What
would
year?
Would go to a park and learn English that way at 10 years old. Oh, my God. She came at 10 years old. Rest her soul. She died at, I think she died at 80, in her mid-80s. So she probably...
Well, I need a year.
No, I'm trying to do the math of her age and when she... I'm trying to do the year when she passed.
When did she die? I'll do it for you.
She passed, I believe, in 09.
09, okay. 80, so that's like 1929?
She probably came in the 20s.
29, yeah.
Yeah, so
no,
she...
No, wait, no. Is that 29? Or is that 1919? 29, well, so, 39, 49, 59, 69. Yeah, it'd be 1919.
Right, so she got here, let's say 1920, New York City.
Depression.
10 years old, never spoke a lick of English, and then she did this thing where, like, when we would go out, she would go, hey, if they take those cookies. And I'd be like, Grandma, I don't need... She would literally take two cookies that were there, wrap them in napkins, and put them in bed. But
that's
I saw this old German...
That's that depression-era shit, yeah.
So I saw this German woman do it, and then I saw, like, the little kids, and I saw little girls from Germany on their phone. Like, it's all the same shit.
Yeah.
You know, I'll talk about a fight with my wife, and even the journey goes, ah, they get it. Everybody's the same. Human beings, that's what this trip has shown me, is that human beings are really all the same in a way.
Yeah, which is
your
now.
Your good ones, your bad ones, your
but
fucking.
But this will change how you then view foreign policy, and when they're,
right.
when they're sitting there, you know, trying to make.
I still want the wall. I don't want those animals. I'm kidding. No, but it makes you think. Like, well, you know, dude.
No, but this shit where they sit there and they, oh, you know, whatever. Like your idea of say the Middle East and stuff like that, it just changes. You're like, because there's that grandmother there, there's the Verzi there, there's the me there,
yeah.
And then what you have is the lunatics at the top, and they just get everybody all fucking stirred up beneath them that these fucking people are going to come over here and they're going to do this, they're going to do that, and all of this shit. So, I don't know. You know what's fucking hilarious about that whole fucking Trump thing with the wall is I didn't realize there's a wall there. There's some areas
he's
where...
He's trying to get an area... He's trying to get the area, the South, that doesn't have as much, which they're saying is doing stuff, but he doubled down so much on it. That's why he's not. It's like when,
this is the thing. Like, I don't think either side's going to back down.
No,
because the Democrats can't back down, and he's just getting up and walking out.
A guy that prideful that tweets late at night at celebrities that don't matter, calls single comedians' names out as the president of the United States. That guy that said we're getting the wall done and doubled down and promised his thing. He can't.
Yeah,
he can't
I can't tell if he's like not used to hearing no, if it's insecurity. Like, I'm not a psychologist, but however he is made up. He isn't gonna back down. I love that tweet that you show. Share demands. What did it say? Share what?
Oh yeah, I saw.
What was the word that they used?
I saw all these headlines on the phone. Share demands that Pelosi
don't die on
stops,
this hill.
Stops the shutdown and don't die on this. Share demands it.
Share demands.
Share
it.
Demands
yeah.
it. Yeah, yeah, the pop star, the singer.
Yeah,
the demands
well,
it.
Well, share demands. That this politician doesn't listen to this reality TV star that is now president. Like, that's where the fuck we're at.
Bill, do you know how funny the headline is, Share Demands?
Well, what's funny is Trump's been president for so fucking long that you forget that this is the guy from The Apprentice.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's bad.
You know.
I just like that now people are finally being able to kind of question financially what the fuck we're doing over in Iraq, because that is the big fucking thing, and that is not liberal or conservative. That is just black and white, dude, where it's just like, how the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, dude, your kids are still going to be paying that fucking tab, you know? And I think that they should fucking investigate those corporations that have made zillions of dollars off of this, who I think are the ones that are prolonging whatever the fuck it is we're still doing there. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about it, but I do know how to balance a fucking checkbook, and I do see money coming in versus money going out, assets and liabilities, and there's no other fucking business where you wouldn't right now just be completely fucked. That's another funny fucking thing about him wanting to build this wall. It's like, with what money?
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like, well, that's going to create jobs and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but then you still have to pay for the fucking wall.
Yeah, and he fucked up, man. He fucked up, dude, by saying Mexico was going to pay for it, and now American taxpayers are going to pay for it. Dude, it's fucked up. But talking about money,
No, he didn't, because nobody's going to remember that. And all people do is, like, getting people who are for Trump to admit that this financially doesn't make sense, or whatever. We don't have the money, or whatever the fuck it is. It's literally trying to get somebody who's like a diehard whatever fan to admit that bullshit call that went your way was actually a bullshit call. Like, I would say, like, not this past season, the season before, when that Steeler clearly caught the ball against the Patriots, clearly caught a fucking touchdown, and they called it back.
Yeah.
Now, the amount of Patriots fans, I'll throw my own friends under the bus, the amount of them that would have to be, they would, oh, dude, clearly, he didn't make a football move.
The rule is the rule. Yeah.
They would say that, but it's just like, you know, I'm one of those guys all the way along the line was saying the tuck rule is... It's a stupid rule. I understand that they wanted to have clarification or whatever, but it's just at the end of the day, it's like, dude, he had it. The guy slapped it out of his fucking hands and fell on it. It's a fumble. The fucking game is over. The tuck rule. I remember Tom Brady being like, hey, man, it's the fucking tuck rule. It's just like, whatever. But like, trying to get people politically to look at people, like trying to get, like most of my friends are liberals, trying to get them to see things about the Clintons or the Obamas or whatever, the best they'll say is they're not as bad as Bush, they're not as bad as Trump. It's just like, they always just steer it into this fucking argument where it's just like, you know, if this guy's really a man of the people and he's really such a great guy, why are his first two speaking engagements with two of the biggest fucking banks out there when all of these people are upside down in their houses because of these fucking cunts? Because at the end of the day, they're getting paid by the same guys. They got their faces in the fucking pig trough. And this is too big for this podcast. I don't know why we're talking about this. Maybe
let's talk about spending money.
Let's talk about spending money.
You could balance a budget. I mean, you could balance a checkbook. You want to know what, Bill? I'm not good at it. No, I'm getting better.
No, Paul told me. Paul told me because his special did so well, and now he's selling tickets. He goes, Bill, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to go through a fur coat phase.
I wouldn't do that. I actually think that that's too much. I do think a fur coat's a little ridiculous. I do.
I don't know. However, you like him. Liked when that fighter came in when he goes, it's a fucking polar bear. The guy, he looks like the Burger King guy. He's got the super fast. What's his name? Irish guy.
Yeah, Notorious. Conor.
Yeah, Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he came out with like a white one and he just started walking, but he did it like no shirt, chain underneath. Like that guy.
That guy's not only one of the best fighters in the world, he could be.
Shit talking, he's up maybe top five.
He could be a great stand up comedian too.
Yes. Yeah, I think Conor McGregor, but he's shit talking. I put him top five. He's at wrestler level.
I love that one time when he was doing a promotion. Oh, you'll do fucking nothing.
I love that.
My favorite one was when he goes, this guy's tried to give him shit, and he just turns around and goes, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck is this guy? And even the guy started laughing, being like, yeah, I know. Nobody knows who I am. I was trying to get famous off of you.
He had all of them laughing. Yeah. I remember Ronda Rousey was on the thing. He goes,
who the fuck is this guy?
I love when he goes, you'll do nothing, and he gets into it. Oh, he's on there, man. He's up there with that level. But I will tell you this, dude. I knew he was going to. I told you. I heard things from people. But when he was talking that extra shit, somebody goes, dude, this is Rocky III. When that guy beat him, like, it seemed like
Well, because I feel like right now what he's trying to do. Because, dude, those guys are all pieces of meat.
Yeah.
So what he's doing right now is I think he's realized that. So he's trying to get on the other side where it's just like, all right, how the fuck can I get the most amount of money without getting my brains beaten in? So he took all that money to fight like Mayweather. It's kind of like in the porn industry where after a while they're like, fuck this, I'm starting my own website.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to take all these hits, man, I'm fucking making the money's coming to me. Right. Probably a fucked up analogy.
Taking
all these shots to the face, man.
I'm going to start milk.com.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. All right, I got to read a couple of advertising, then we're done. Hey, do you have any club dates or anything that you can...
I got a ton, man. I got a ton. I'm going to be February through July, all kinds of dates. I believe my late February date at Helium in Buffalo. Tickets are on sale now, but I have a bunch of dates. So
that's what I love about you. What's your website? You don't get any
dates. Yeah, that's what I was going to say right now. If you go to it's all done. The website's new, paulvirzi.com, V-I-R-Z-I. The show's page has all the dates from now through 19 and more are being added.
Yes, and I can tell you that when we were at Gotham, a month ago or so?
Yeah.
I went and I did a show for the Mazzillis. I love those guys, and they were nice enough after we did the gig in New York the month before. They had the after party, had the cake boss make the cake. They're just the best guys ever. Steve and Chris. So I was like, I'm going to come back. I'll do a night. So we did a night. And you were on stage in front of me, and you didn't know that Seinfeld was coming down.
No.
Yeah, so we were having him stretch, and Paul's thinking, why do they keep having me do more time? Bill's in the room. And I watched you do like 35 minutes, and you were riffing and you were fucking around, and I was just like, wow, man, this guy's like a legit headliner. And I'm telling you, dude, hours are going to come easy, much easier for you.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Than somebody who like is like a joke writer, which is why I love joke writers, because it's like how hard, much harder it is for them. But you're like a storyteller. You were fucking with the crowd. I mean, I was like, I was really like, you came into your own, dude. So definitely check Paul out.
Oh, it means a lot, Bill.
Well, you know, you've always been a great friend. All right. Robin Hood, everybody, my one and only read here. Robin Hood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission free. I have no idea what any of that means. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. A non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Cost/no commission fees. Does that make sense to you? You just said cost. No cost fees. No commission fees. Is that what that means? Anyways, I lost you. You're looking at your phone here. Other brokerage charges are up to $10 for every trade. I love how you said no, and you kept looking at your phone. But Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Can you tell I don't live in this world at all? I can barely even read this. Robinhood web platform also lets you view stock collections, 100 most popular sectors like entertainment and social media, and curated categories like female CEOs. Ugh. And analyze, how about good CEO? And analyze ratings to buy/hold/sell for every stock. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new, how about redheaded CEOs? You got any of those fucking companies? Discover bald redheaded male CEOs. Discover new stocks and trade favorite companies with personalized news feeds, custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at BillBurr.Robinhood.com. That's BillBurr.Robinhood.com. If you're into that shit, check it out. All right, that's the podcast. Enjoy the music here, and there'll be a half-hour bonus material from old-school throwback Thursday afternoon just before Friday, Monday morning podcast. All right, Paul.
Oh, and stream the special, still streaming. I'll say this, Comedy Central broke their online records. Please check it out. Subscribe to the Comedy Central app, and you could get the special. We're going to be putting out more clips. And
What's the website? Is it Comedy Central?
Yeah, it's ComedyCentral.com, but it's also, you could get it right from my website at PaulVerzi.com. But if you go to ComedyCentral.com, and you could subscribe to the app, and you could see the special there. And check out PaulVerzi.com for the new dates.
Beautiful. All right. Have a great weekend, you cunts. And Monday might be a little bit late record when we're in Vienna, but I'll be coming back, I think, flying back Monday, which might be your Sunday, because we're so far ahead. I don't know. All right, I'll see you. Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, January 10th, 2011. How are you? Hello, it's me. Why is that song in my head? Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie. There's a good-looking fella, huh? That was one weird-looking son of a bitch, wasn't it? You know, with his Jerry curl. He had a Jerry curl, a mullet,
and an afro all at the same time. Two out of three of the worst fucking haircuts ever. I think the afro was cool if you were in the ABA. Other than that, it was probably just another reason for races to not get along. You know, you're sitting there, you're trying to be open-minded. You're at a fucking sporting event or maybe at a movie theater and some guy comes walking in with a big Dr. J afro, you know, and doesn't have the decency to put that Frederick Douglass part on the side so maybe you could look down his part and see a little bit of Jaws Part 2 or whatever the fuck was coming out when people had hair like that. And what it creates animosity. See, that's what it is. Everybody thinks it's that slavery stuff. They think it's the Holocaust. That's not what it is. It's the haircuts, people. That's why people don't get along. You know, you look at other people's haircuts and you go, well, what kind of people will get haircuts like that? You know, and then there's some little psycho in the corner with greasy hair and a weird mustache. And the shit starts. That's how it goes down, people. You might be sitting there right now going, gee, Bill, that was really fucking ignorant. Don't you watch the History Channel? As a matter of fact, I do. I do watch the History Channel. Thank you very much for not asking me and allowing me to create your question in my head. I do watch the History Channel, and there's no history left on that channel. All they show is Pawn Shop on that I don't know what the fuck is on that. You know, it's just become like every other channel. I was reading something today where they were doing a mini-series on the Kennedys. I didn't see the bridge, and am I really going to do a hacky Ted Kennedy? I think I'm going to. And we went down to the bottom of the lagoon, and I took a deep breath. I finger-fucked her a couple more times, left her in the car, and swam to the surface. Actually, the size of my head made me so buoyant, I just sort of floated unconsciously, Your Honor. Yeah, so they had a mini-series about the Kennedys, and they canceled it. They canceled it. Yet, for some reason, evidently, if you have a bunch of shit in a storage shed, they want to go down and film it. Was that a little social commentary? Is that what I did 2 minutes and 49 seconds into the podcast? Did I really just do some sort of what is the state of the History Channel commentary? I think I did. Okay, well, I have an announcement to make, and it's with heavy heart that I have to tell you that my 3-week vacation is over. You know, it's back to the goddamn grind. And I know a lot of you right now going, 3 weeks, dude, I get fucking 2 weeks for the year. Well, you know what? That's your fault. All right? You picked that career. It's a free goddamn country. Go write some fucking jokes, you cunt. Maybe then you could take a 3-week vacation. And by vacation, what I meant is I didn't have to get on a plane. I didn't have to go to any airports for 3 weeks. It was awesome. I was actually hanging out with some people the other day, and they weren't comedians, but they traveled a lot. And we just sat around talking about different airports. And it blew my mind how much I knew about all these airports and places where you could get something decent to eat. And by decent, of course, I mean by airport standards. You know, I know whenever I land in Dallas, I'm going to come down that fucking escalator for my connecting flight. And there's that awful Mexican restaurant that's right there. And every time I go in there because I'm hungry. And I hope against hope that they're going to have the real cheese and not that cheese whiz. You know, that cheese cum that they put on the burritos. And every time I order a fucking burrito, I said, hey, listen, this burrito, does it have the real cheese? Or does it have that nuclear waste cheese whiz stuff? And the waitress never knows, you know, because who's kidding? If you're a waitress at an airport, you don't give a fuck. You know, I don't know. Let me go in and ask the chef. Then they go in and they come back. So what's the verdict there? What's a good Texas fucking name? TCU? What's the verdict there, sweetheart? Is it do you have the real cheese? We certainly don't. Nodding the head, you know, mind fucking you like you're going to get an, you know. Nodding up north means yes. Down south, it could mean yes or fuck no. Why, we most certainly do not. We absolutely don't. Ugh, with your big fucking, those big fucking Texarkana, those Oklahoma, that fucking huge white girl face that Hugh Hefner loves. He loves those girls, those big panhandle faces, huge fucking heads. Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, white girls got the biggest, roundest fucking heads I've ever seen in my life. Jesus fucking Christ. They played football. You couldn't get them a helmet. You'd have to custom make helmets for the beautiful bodies. You know, big vanilla titties, huh? That's right. Big vanilla titties. Yeah. Big vanilla titties. They got the, you know, the stars at night are big and bright. Just like my big fucking head. You know, if I had to slap the shit out of any woman, I think it'd be with some chick from fucking Texarkana, Oklahoma. You know, just get a big 12-ounce glove, right? Boxing glove. Just hit that big fruit cart of a fucking head. All right. Speaking of which, I will be in Addison, Texas, now that I've trashed your women. I'm going to be there the last weekend in January. So if you get a chance, you know, you put on your best pair of boots. Is that what you guys do out there in Dallas? Why am I shitting on? This is the second week in a row I've shit on people in the greater Dallas area. And I still have the audacity to think that I'm going to sell tickets down there. Jesus Christ. Is this the Chinese year of arrogance? Because that's what I'm feeling. Anyways, so 2 more weeks of no boozing, and I've made my 100 days. 100 days, I think about you in 100 ways. What song was that? Was that a Jane's Addiction song, or was that when they were porno for pyros? Huh? Was that Tahitian Moon? Is that what I was just singing there? Or was it Bali in My Eyes? Is anybody else on the podcast? Am I like the only person who ever bought that CD? The second porno for pyros? I like Bali, that song Bali. I don't like the weird high-pitched singing that Perry Farrell does in the beginning of it, but I really like the sound of the guitar, just in case you were wondering. You were just sitting there going, you know, I wonder what Bill thinks about that obscure track. What is it, the fucking last song, Second Side? Oh, who fucking gives a shit? All right, what the hell am I talking about? Okay, let's talk about something in sports that really fucking bothered me this weekend. I was watching the Bruins-Canadiens game, okay? A horrific loss for the Bruins. We were up 2-0, then we let up 2 fucking goals, and then right in the end, then lost in overtime. But this is what pisses me off about the fucking Canadiens, is the Canadiens are sort of like, they're like Matthew McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused. Remember that guy, the 26-year-old guy who's still hanging out at high school wearing his fucking Letterman jacket, asking where the parties are? That's what they're like. They are still the most successful NHL franchise in the history of hockey. But they have not dominated the league since pre-Gretzky. We're talking 1979. We're talking Jimmy Carter in office. All right? We're talking about the AMC Pacer being a viable option for a car of the future. You know, I just realized because I drive a Prius that I bet if was my age in 1979, I would have bought a Pacer. I really just learned that about myself. It makes me feel bad. So anyways, just to give you a little bit of history between the Bruins and the Canadiens kicked the shit out of the Bruins for a good 50 fucking years. All right. Dominated the league. We met him in the finals 7 times, and we never beat him. And every time we went up to the Montreal Forum, they always beat us. And it was like this hex. We just couldn't beat it, right? And this is the weirdest jinx in sports. Because in 1987-88, we finally went up to the Montreal Forum. We finally had a better fucking team. Well, a couple times we had a better team, but we would still lose. But we finally had a better team, and we fucking beat them. Right? It's over. The fucking hex is over. Oh, thank God, right? Just for better measure, 2 years later, we beat them again in the fucking playoffs. You know? And then over the next 20 years, we pretty much went tit for tat in the playoffs. And 2 years ago, We beat Montreal every fucking game in the regular season, and then we swept them in the playoffs, the final two games in their own building. Okay? But for some fucking reason, they still always talk about this fucking hex like it's still going on. I for the life of me, can somebody, hockey fan, please fucking explain it? And don't even say it's because the Bruins haven't won a cup, because we did. During that 50-year fucking drought, we won in 70 and we won in 72. That would be like if the Red Sox won it in 70 and 72 and you're still talking about the curse of the babe. I don't know what this fucking curse is. Is it because we haven't beaten them in the finals ever? We can't. They realigned the divisions. We've played them in the playoffs. We've beaten since 87. We're pretty much 50-50 against them. I don't fucking understand. I understand it when Dan Shaughnessy says something, because Dan Shaughnessy, like if an old 80, like an 80-year-old woman became a sports writer, she would be Dan Shaughnessy, because Dan Shaughnessy never talks about the game. Dan Shaughnessy loves ghosts and goblins and fucking urban myths. He's everything about the fucking game. He will talk about all of it. Like, and he doesn't know shit about hockey. All right. As he asked, actually called for the end of the Winter Classic this week. He said, you know, it's time to retire the Winter Classic. And this is what a moron this guy is. He talks about how the first fucking 3 years were awesome. And how he stood next to Bobby Orr, arguably the greatest player of all time. You know, if not top two, if not top three, if you're a cunt, you know? The fucking arguably greatest player of all time stands next to Dan Shaughnessy when the Winter Classic was at Fenway Park, and he says to Shaughnessy, this is what real hockey is. This is what it is. This is it. This is it, and it's most pure form. This is how we all learned how to play, all right? And then this year, just because, you know, 1 year that you're going to have bad weather, it was kind of raining out and the ice wasn't good. Shaughnessy says that they should cancel it. He's such a fucking retard. It's like, Dan, those first 3 years, that's pond hockey in the middle of the winter. What you saw in Pittsburgh is pond hockey at the beginning and the end of the pond hockey season. All right? If you ever fucking played it in your life, you dumbass. The second I saw that Pittsburgh-Washington game and I saw the ice surface with those puddles, I immediately was taken back to my youth during, you know, just the beginning when it was just cold enough to play hockey or you were coming into spring. And what would you do? You'd take big rocks, you'd throw them up in the fucking air, see if they would go through the ice, and then you'd send the fattest fucker out of all your friends to walk out on the ice, and if he didn't drown, game on. You'd go out there and you would skate. You know, and if you started losing, you'd try to trip one of your friends into the big puddle. So whatever. So anyway, so I want to know, seriously, okay, now Montreal Canadiens fans, I'm not disrespecting you guys. You guys, you know, other than the New York Yankees, you're the most successful. You have the most championships. All right? And if I had to rate franchises, I would say Yankees, Lakers, Canadians, and then Celtics. Now, I know a lot of Boston fans aren't going to like that, but this is why. All right, Yankees, because they got the most, and they've won in every era. Then I would go Lakers, just because they've won 10 championships in the last 30 years. That, you know, Canadians haven't, Yankees haven't. I mean, that's fucking unheard of in the modern era with free agency. That's fucking insane. So I guess I would put them maybe. I would say, okay, well, I don't know where to put the Lakers. How about that? I would put the Lakers as the best franchise of the last fucking 30 years, without a doubt. And now I can't even remember what the fuck I said about the rest of this shit. All right? But I don't understand, like, what exactly has to happen? How many fucking times do the Bruins have to beat the Canadiens in the fucking playoffs? I don't get it. And we won two Stanley Cups during. I don't get it. I absolutely do not fucking understand why every time I watch the Canadiens Bruins, they have to bring up something that ended, that fucking ended, Jesus Christ, almost a quarter of a century ago. The Canadians have not dominated the Bruins for any significant amount of time since 86, pre-1986. I don't know if I got the Canadian feed. I have no idea what, but that is the most overrated fucking thing I've ever heard. Overrated fucking thing I've ever heard. And anytime the Canadians win, like they did, came back and won there, they'll be like, you see? You see? And but they'll ignore the fact that we swept them for a whole year and in the playoffs, the final two games in their own fucking building. You know? How come the Red Sox, how come their thing ended? I don't get it. Shouldn't that thing have continued? The whole fucking thing doesn't make sense. It's just this classic thing as a Boston sports fan, which I'm so fucking sick of, is I can't stand. First of all, I don't believe in curses. That whole Dan Shaughnessy old fucking lady thing, where it's such a pussy way of looking things, where you literally take your hand off the wheel. You have no control of your destiny because there's a goddamn gremlin under your bed. It's like, isn't it really that, aside from the fact that Montreal was a tremendous fucking franchise back in the day, all right? As tremendous as they were, the Bruins were horrific. Wasn't it that, you know, Harry Sinden didn't embrace free agency and he resented the fact that players were now in control and he absolutely categorically fucking refused to pay anybody top dollar, whether they were worth it or not. Wasn't that more likely than that there was some sort of fucking ghost floating around a fucking hockey arena? I don't know. So whatever. So for the 900th fucking year in a row, I got to watch a Bruins-Canadiens game. And despite the fact that the Montreal Canadiens are not a factor in the NHL anymore, they're in first place now, but you know what I mean? They're not an elite franchise anymore. They're just not. And they haven't been, okay? They haven't won a fucking cup since 93. It's over. It's over. Okay? It's fucking over. I mean, I don't know. I mean, as a Celtics fan, I admit that it's over. It died when Len Bias died. When Len Bias died, it was fucking over, and it hasn't come back. Just because we won one since then, it hasn't come. It's fucking over. You know, speaking of which, I've actually started to watch a lot of hoop, and I got to tell you something. When the fucking Boston Celtics, I've never seen so many goddamn ace bandages and knee pads in my entire fucking life. I think they have the oldest legs in the NBA. Every one of them is taped from their ankles up to their hips. I don't think that I really just don't see them winning it this year. I don't. I think that I think Miami Heat's going to do it. I actually think they're going to do it. They're much younger. The fucking everybody's dressed like Marcus Haynes on the goddamn Celtics. Now there's an old reference for you, huh? Marcus Haynes, look it up, people. He was the magical fucking the guy in the Globetrotters. Boo 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 boo. Right, and he'd slide around on the floor. You know, when black people bitch about fucking Hollywood and that type of shit, don't we? Do white people, you know, for the stereotypes and the awful roles which they've been given for decades in Hollywood, you know, do white people get any sort of credit for being on the Washington Generals and just being absolute stooges? You know what I mean? Just going out there, paid to lose, paid to fall for the same fucking trick every goddamn night, just looking like absolute fucking buffoons. Do we get any sort of a credit? Can Spike Lee make a tragic film about white people who had to play in the Washington Generals? Anybody? Can anybody back me on that one? Back me up, people. What's the deal? How far into this fucking podcast am I? 20 goddamn minutes. All right. So what is there to talk about? You guys, what do you guys want to talk about? I sound like a headliner right now who has run out of jokes. He's done an hour's worth of material in 20 minutes. So now he's just going to try to fucking play with the crowd, which I can't do because you're not here. So why don't we read this this email under the provocative name Corporate Bullshit. Bill, dear Bill, recently, I had to return some items at the mall. It was the day after Christmas, and I was with a girl I was dating. With the girl that I was dating. She wanted to return some shoes, so we went to the Journey store where the shoes were bought. When she got to the counter to return the shoes, the girl behind the counter asked her for her name, address, email, and phone number. Oh, my God. The amount of fucking people who actually give out that information. My girlfriend just gave the information over as soon as the girl asked for it. We were leaving the store. I remarked that I thought it was bullshit that she had to give away personal information to return a pair of shoes. She said it was not a big deal, but I didn't like it. All right. Why the fuck would you give somebody all that information? And just in case you're new to my podcast, just say you can say no. Can I, you know, I go out to buy shit all the time. Can I have your phone number? No. I don't even try to make it nice. I just say no. And then they go, oh, okay. You know, why do you feel like you got to give them their information? You're trying to buy something. I'm sorry, I can't sell you this unless I get your information. Well, then go fuck yourself. I'll buy it somewhere else. I don't even need it anyways. So anyways, he goes, next we go to American Eagle. You guys hit all the hot spot, huh? Then we went to Cinnabon. Next we went to American Eagle, where I had to return a shirt that was a gift. There was a long line for returns. Why'd you return the shirt? Huh? Did it not fit, or was it ugly as hell, or was it both? As I was waiting in line, one of the employees comes up to me with a clipboard with a little form to fill out. Now, is anybody else kind of getting the prison camp vibe here? You know, you're standing in line to get processed, and there's a guy coming up. Und what is your name, please? Your phone number? I stopped the employee and asked her why she needed this information. And she says that it was to verify my purchase. How fucking dumb are people? You going to verify my purchase? Well, here's the sales slips there, sweetheart. This verifies it. That's it. I don't know what to tell you. Why don't you and your clipboard, why don't you hold that clipboard between your little fucking beef curtains and take a fucking walk down the street? How about that, huh, sweetheart?
Sir, there's no reason to use that type of language.
Go fuck yourself. Huh? How about I fucking grab that ponytail and just, no, let's keep it clean this week, shall we, people? Anyway, he goes, before I could protest further, she said that I could just put my name on it. Oh, on the clipboard? When she walked away, I pulled out the gift receipt and said to my girlfriend, oh, here it is. Yeah, this is what verifies my purchase. Exactly. The clipboard employee wasn't as far away as I thought she was and heard me say, did I read that wrong? Yeah, heard me say this. And she began to explain further why I needed to give over the information. This is the part of the email I hate. He goes, I apologized and told her I realized it wasn't her and that it was just her company's policy that she was enforcing. She walked away again. I felt bad, so the next time I saw her, I apologized and said I realized that she was just doing her job, but she ignored me. She was probably pissed because it was the day after Christmas and I was causing her grief, but she could at least accept my apology, you bitch. I love how you go from being totally liberal and seeing somebody's fucking side of it to being, yeah, man up, you cunt. Anyway, I got up to the counter and there wasn't any further problems. The guy at the register just took my name and didn't ask me for anything. I felt as though I had a small victory against the big corporations. Then this week, I had to go back to the store to return a hat my girlfriend got. Did you guys not make Christmas lists? Or are all your relatives blind? This seems to be a lot of returning of gifts. This is hilarious. You're returning a hat that your girlfriend got you. Dude, how horrific was that hat? Can you please send me a picture of it if you took one before you returned it? Picture one of those a plaid Charlie Chaplin hat. I had the receipt, but again, the girl at the register asked me for my address and phone number. I said I didn't want to give that information to her. Immediately, panic sets in on her face, and she says that I have to. I said that I didn't have to the day after Christmas, and I wasn't going to now. Good for you. She calls over a coworker, and they both get defensive and hold to the idea that I have to give over my information in order to return a stupid hat, even though I had my receipt. I asked why, and they let me slide on this before, and they maintained that I had I had to give them my name, address, and phone number. So what did I do in the face of corporate opposition? I caved and I gave it to them. You fucking pussy. Dude, the second you saw the panic on their face, you knew that they were going to lose. All right? He goes, I just don't get it, Bill. Why is a receipt not enough nowadays? It is enough. They say they need our personal information to verify a purchase. They're not, dude. They're not. All right? All of that shit, all those little save, you know, you want to get one of our discount store. They're creating a file on you. They figure out what you want to buy, what they can market towards you. And then they take that information and they sell it to other fucking companies. Even though they say they're not going to, they sell your information. Your information gets up on the internet. And that's why there's all these creepy websites out there right now that have all this fucking information about you, about, you know, how many siblings you have, your brothers and sisters' names. They all use that information to fucking, it's, I'm telling you. This, don't give them your information. You don't have to give him your information. And people out there who just have this fucking attitude towards these corporations just sitting there going like, well, you know, what do they got? You mean as long as you're not doing anything wrong? I mean, what do I care if they know where I live? What do I care? Just fucking morons. I've explained this shit till I'm blue in the face. And then I always get these emails from these people. I said something the other day, you know, I was listening to sports radio, you know, because I'm a deep thinker, right? And this new guy got on sports radio out here in Los Angeles, and, you know, he does what most people do when they have nothing to say, which is they just go over the top arrogant. You know what I mean? Like, he was talking about how he wanted to get some sort of sports coach or personality on the show, but he doubted he could get him as a guest because the guest hated him. And he goes, you know, because I disagreed with him on some. He was talking to a coach, and he was actually disagreeing with the fucking coach. He's disagreeing with the guy. And he goes, you know what the problem is? You know, he goes, like, I'm just like such a good debater. I actually end up like convincing myself of my own opinion. He actually said that over the airwaves, and I just sort of muttered to myself that the confidence of morons is staggering. You know what I mean? Morons think they know everything. That's what makes them fucking morons. And like the emails I get with people who don't question this shit, which is, I don't know, like last week when I went off on my little fucking rant there, just some of the fucking emails I get. It's like people are sending me shit that kind of is backing up what I'm saying and then telling me that I sound like I have tinfoil on my fucking head, which obviously I am out of my fucking mind on some level, but I'm not out of my mind when I don't trust corporations and I don't trust them when they say we're not going to do anything with this information. The other day I was in CVS and I go to buy something and the lady asked me, did I have a save card? And I said, no. She said, do you want one? And I said, no. And she goes, well, that's okay. And she swiped the fucking thing anyways. And I was like, lady, what did I just say to you? Now, see, if I use my credit card, they'd have my name and then to match up to that fucking number and what the hell I just bought and just a little bit more information about me. And my question to all you people who have this faith in these corporations, why does that person do that? Why are they so hell-bent on trying to make that corporation less money in that moment? They give me this card. You know, like everybody has those cards. So you're not saving any fucking money. It's a big fucking shell game to make it seem, ooh, look, you're saving money. What they're really doing, they're like, yeah, look at this hand over here, as you're giving them all your personal fucking information that they can then use to, at the very least, sell to other corporations to increase junk mail and also to limit your fucking level of privacy. The fact that they can put all that shit up on the goddamn internet. People have been sending me these random websites where they have like your name and your address, where you fucking live and all this type of shit. It's like, how do you think that they get all that information? Do you think there's somebody sitting there with a phone book and just typing all of this shit in? I don't know. I don't fucking know. If some, let's what kills me. If some fucking random creepy guy, you know, you're standing there waiting for the subway, came up to you, asked you what your name, your phone number, and your address was, would you give it to him? No. But for some reason, you're inside of a fucking store, and there's socks and sweaters, and somebody has a name tag. Now, all of a sudden, you give them total fucking trust. You're out of your mind. So, sir, don't cave in. All right? All you just say that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. I want to speak to the manager. What they're doing, it's not legal yet. It's not legal yet, but I can guarantee you there's somebody lobbying for it that in Washington. There's some sort of fucking high-powered lobbying group, I swear to God, is probably lobbying that from here on out, we need to have a law that if you're going to return a hat, you have to give us your name, your address, and your Social Security number just so there's not another 9/11. Can guarantee it. So, yeah, you don't have to. That's actually one of the highlights of my day. What I do now is when they say, do you have a little savey save card? And I say, no, I don't. Would you like one? No, I don't. I then say, and please don't swipe another one. You know? And then I try to pay with cash. I love cash. Cash is fucking anonymous. All you guys out there who are sitting there watching these commercials where they make it look like credit cards are so fucking easy. You're idiots. You're buying into exactly what they want you to buy into, which is a cashless society so they can keep track of where you are at all fucking times and every last fucking dime that you make so they can get their greedy little fucking hands on it. You're out of your mind, and you're giving up an unbelievable amount of fucking privacy by creating a paper trail everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, what you're doing, where you're at, you know? And the sea of morons who are going to sit there and go, well, if you ain't doing anything wrong. I mean, I guess maybe I'm a paranoid psycho. You look at all these fucking idiots who do reality TVs and they let cameras come into their house and they don't seem to care about it. Maybe the average jackass doesn't give a shit. But, sir, for the love of God, you know, in the end he says, I'm not crying conspiracy. It's very plain to see what they're doing. It's not malicious or evil. Yes, it is. It is malicious, and it is evil, and it is a conspiracy. They're conspiring to get everybody's information, find out what they buy, and they're lying to you saying that they're not going to share the information. It's everything that you're saying it's not. It is. All right? And that's it. That's 2 weeks in a row I'm on the soapbox. See, people, don't you like it better when I talk about sports? Anyways, let's talk about football this week. You're going to hear me say something this week that I've never said before, ever on a podcast. I feel bad for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning got fucked this week by his own goddamn coaching staff. He played a great goddamn game. When they needed a score, he drove him right down the fucking field. If that bum caught that ball, they were right in there. And even still. And by the way, Adam Vinatieri. It's a shame the Jets won the goddamn game because that guy is the most money kicker of all time. I was actually joking with my buddy when I was watching the game. I was saying that the most pussy ever gotten by a professional kicker has to be Adam Vinatieri. It's got to be. It's got to be. And I actually learned that there's no kicker in the NFL Hall of Fame, and there's no fucking way. It's just a shame. Not because I hate the Jets. It's a shame that the Jets won that fucking game because it people are going to forget that he actually hit that fucking 50-yarder, man. Right down the fucking middle. Right down the middle. But I was right there with Peyton Manning when he had his hands out. When the fucking Colts called timeout with 29 seconds to go, can somebody explain why the fuck they did that? And don't even say, Well, at that point, they realized the Jets were going to kick a field goal, and they wanted to make sure that what? They'd have 17 seconds to get down the fucking field? There wasn't going to be enough time. There wasn't going to be enough time. You had a second-year quarterback who fucking had that deer-in-the-headlights look. He was overthrowing all his fucking receivers. You take a timeout. You give him a chance to gather himself for their coaches to give him the next three plays so he can fucking relax. And what comes right out. He hits a fucking 18-yard pass, and that's the end of the game. And when Peyton was sitting there with his hands out like, what the fuck are we calling timeout for? It was the one time I actually felt bad for that guy. I just sat there and I was going, I think they're in the process of losing this fucking game. Not just giving the game away. It was fucking brutal. Absolutely brutal. So there you go. Peyton Manning did not lose that game. He fucking stepped it up. He played a hell of a goddamn game. And I actually feel bad for the guy that he lost. And if I'm going to be honest, now that I think about it, about 5-6 years ago, you know, he drove his team down the field and their idiot kicker would talk shit about Peyton choking in the playoffs. He went in and he missed the fucking field goal. So there's 2 years, two losses I won't blame Peyton Manning for. All right, there you go. See that? Look at me trying to be a little more forgiving in this year. And I realized this week, too, that I've been feeding into exactly what Rex Ryan wants, which is people just talking about him. You know, what are the odds? Do you think he's going to say something outrageous this week? It's really like watching Madonna's career, you know, where you have a woman who has a mediocre voice and has made mediocre music for the last 30 fucking years. Yet somehow, whenever she wants to be, is in the news. And you know why? Because she knows when to take her clam out. All right? She knows when to go on Letterman and say fuck 38 times during an interview. You know, when you really think about Madonna, what does it have to do? Oh, wow, look how good shape she's in. Did you see when she did the book and she fucking spread her legs? You know, did you see when she said fuck on Letterman? Did you see when she did the video and fucking Jesus was black and then she kissed him? Of course, that's what you talk about. What are you going to talk about? Borderline. Feel like I'm going to lose my mind. Really? 30-year career off of that horseshit? What's his face is doing the same thing. He's doing the exact same fucking thing. Dropped a bunch of F-bombs during Hard Knocks. That was his Letterman episode. All right. He put a wig on. That was him showing his clam. And then he made a controversial video. Other than that, he lost the division, backed into the fucking playoffs. Playoffs? Yeah, I don't know. You know what I realized this week? I didn't even know what the name of the coach was for the Atlanta Falcons. I've given this guy no hype whatsoever. Mike Smith. I had actually had to look it up. This is a guy who went 13-3, who actually has a franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan. He actually has a franchise quarterback. You know? But it's not in New York, so who gives a fuck, right? With that, my predictions for the week. Pittsburgh Ravens, I have no fucking idea. Patriots Jets, I have no fucking idea. Just for the simple fact, I have no idea which defense the Patriots are going to show up with. You know, I am not a guy, if you realize that, I'm not a guy who buys into hype. That's why I have not bought into Rex Ryan for half a fucking second. And that's why also when the Patriots won 45-3, I didn't go, well, there you go. Because I realize we also lost 28-14. I also know that we suck against the run. So I think if we're going to win, I'll tell you, if I'm the Patriots, I got to be thinking I got to stop LT. No, seriously, if we can stop the run and go up by a good 10, 14 fucking points and put Sanchez into a situation where he feels like he has to make a play, we're going to be in it. We're going to be all right. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And I have faith that we're going to fucking do that. I hope, for the love of fucking God, because if we don't, you're going to listen to the sounds of a blubbering jackass next week on this fucking podcast. And that is it. So that's it. I'm really hoping. Oh, look at this. Look at this. I got some offers coming in. Here we go. Where am I going to be performing? Oh, by the way, I'm actually in the process of getting a Detroit and Milwaukee date. Now, I have not played in Detroit since I did the Rich Bitch tour way back in the day with Charlie Murphy and Ashy Larry. And I have not played Milwaukee ever. I know I did a college in that area because a long time ago I went to a Bucks game. But what else do I got going on here? Of course, I don't get the fucking internet here. My bedroom. What the hell's wrong with me? I'm stepping up my life in 2011, people. All right, let's go with YouTube videos for the week. All right. Oh, here's something. I've been, you know, watching a lot of basketball lately, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar always gets credit for inventing the skyhook. And I always took that as law, and I was just like, yeah, the guy invented the skyhook. Wow, people must have been like, what the fuck? You know, they went from the set shot to the, you know, the way they traditionally shoot now with the one hand, the other hand guiding the ball, and then he comes out with that shit. People must have just been like, where the fuck did that come from? And then I was looking at some old Celtics video, and that was sort of a shot that people already took in the 60s, but they did it from their hip, and it was one of the gayest looking shots you're ever going to see. You just sort of jumped in the air, had one leg up in the air, bent at the knee. Like, I don't think that there's a physical way to do that shot without going, wee, as you threw it. But he just sort of, he changed it, where he didn't shoot it from the hip, he just put it over his fucking head. So there you go. Here's a nice conspiracy theory one from people in, I believe, in Seattle. You go to a Seahawks game, they have a large beer and a small beer, and the large beer is like $1.75 more. They come in two different glasses. So somebody filled up a small glass with water and poured it into the large glass, and it filled it all the way up. It was classic. The small glass is a little fat one, and the other one's nice and tall, so you think you're getting more and you're not, and they charge you an extra $1.25. And somebody made a video of it. What else? What other videos do I have here? Oh, this is one from a new website. Totally Crap. Totallycrap.com. They got a lot of good videos. And there's one there called 5 Minute Fight. All of these, by the way, will be up on the mmpodcast.com. And what else? Oh, this one is a video also on totallycrap.com. And it's also an underrated, and it says underrated ass whoopings. So many things would be solved if people would start their kids out right. And the name of this video is Old School Ass Whooping. And I don't know how to describe this other than this father puts on a video camera. He makes his kid tell him he's not going to be in a gang, and he starts beating him with the belt. And the kid tells his dad he's not, that gangs are bullshit. And he goes, don't tell me, tell it to the fucking camera. And he continues to beat his ass with the belt. It's sad. It's funny. It's everything you want it to be. And then there's another video that I saw right after that. It's 5 Minute Fight. And this fight is fucking hilarious. There's two white kids. They're calling each other bitch, and they're calling each other the N-word. And I swear to God, they might both throw 700 punches, and I think they miss 698 each. It's the classic thing where you got two people who want to fight, they don't know how to fight, and all they know is they want to punch the person, other person in the face, but they don't want to get hit in the face. So they won't commit to coming inside, and they're just sort of punching the atmosphere around the other guy's head. Or as I like to say, an NBA basketball fight. You ever watch how NBA basketball players fight for the most part? They pull their head behind their shoulders, and then they throw punches like they're trying to throw a fucking baseball from the outfield to home plate. All right. I'm just really just giving information this week. I don't feel like I'm fucking – oh, here we go. No, that was from last week. Oh, for Christ's sake, you cooked the shit out of it. Where the hell am I here? Where the fuck is my underrated overrated for the week? Oh, overrated and underrated. Here we go. Overrated. NFL celebrations. Seriously, how many times do we have to see these unoriginal athletes do the jump and the chest bump after a touchdown? It's been done so much, it's become lackluster and automatic. Remember the throat slash they would all do before the NFL banned it for being too violent a gesture? I remember even Brett Favre doing that one and still managing to come off too white when he did it. Or what about the fact that the celebrations aren't even regulated to touchdowns anymore? Every sack, tackle, first down, and catch warrants a dance and a hey, look at me moment for the player. This is the NFL. I expect defenses to wrap a guy up and make a tackle. I expect the receivers to catch the ball. They need to show some class and act like they've done it before. Not to mention, yeah, I'm totally with you on that. That whole every time you catch a pass and then you get up and you got it, you know, the Jerome Bettis was the guy who always stands out in my head where he would fucking, you know, his first 10 carries, he'd get like 12 yards and then he'd rip one off for like 11. And then he'd get up and start stomping around, taking off his fucking chin strap. I can't stand that shit. Braylon Edwards does that shit. You know, drops like 9 passes and then catches one for a first down, gets up, fucking, it's the worst thing ever. The Keyshawn Johnson, where you stomp around and you take off your fucking chin strap. It's like, well, I hate that shit. I hate it. I can't say it. I don't mind, actually, if you catch a touchdown, you do a little fucking dance. I've always liked that shit. But, like, the first – you know what's even worse is when your team is kicking the shit out of another team and then the other team makes a good defensive play and then that guy gets up screaming at the people in the end zone. It's like, dude, you're down 28-6, all right? Why don't you go back to the defensive huddle and figure out why the fuck you weren't doing that for the first 3.5 quarters, you know? So I go with you. I'm over all of that shit. And I think the worst thing I saw this year was the T. Ocho show, where you had a team that was absolutely shitting the bed, yet their two best players had the time to do a reality show during the season. Do you think Bill Belichick would put up with that? Do you think that those guys would not be shipped out for third-round draft picks? It's unfucking believable the level of disrespect that is to do that fucking show during the goddamn season as you proceed to lose fucking 8 games in a row. And then you go on the show and you throw your coaches under the bus. There you go. And for those of you who wonder why Randy Moss was traded for a third-round draft pick, that's why. Because of that type of shit. Because it's just not worth it. Like, you ever see a beautiful girl in a bar, okay, or whatever, or you start dating a beautiful girl, and no matter how hot she is, she's just such a cunt, it's not fucking worth it. She's just so fucking high maintenance. That's what all those players are like in all those types of sports. It's... At the end of the day, no matter how fucking good they are, they're just not worth it. They're just not worth it. Kind of like listening to the rest of this podcast. It's really not worth it. I feel like I haven't had anything to say for the last fucking 12 minutes. All right, underrated. Baseball's code. Although it's definitely borderline juvenile sometimes, I do like that in baseball, if you show up a pitcher by celebrating your home run a little bit too much, you can guarantee he's throwing at you the next time you're up. I like that players get to police themselves a little bit. Well, sir, why don't you come over to the NHL? You'd love NHL hockey. You just basically described why there's fighting in hockey and why hockey's awesome. And, you know, because they let the players police each other. And I know people who don't like the NHL, they're going to be like, by fighting? Yes, by fighting. It has to be done. Okay, you got a guy skating around the ice at fucking 20 miles an hour with the goddamn club in his hand. Okay, if you don't slap the shit out of him every couple of games, he's going to hurt somebody severely. You know, so that's what needs to be done. You know, think of all the piece of shit players that are cheap fucks in the NBA, all right, in the NFL and all that. Just imagine if they actually had a club in their hand. And they could walk up to your best player and just fucking slam him over the head, right in the fucking grill or in the side of his fucking leg. You know? You'd have to beat the shit, or you have to be allowed to beat the shit out of that guy so it wouldn't happen. And I know what you guys were thinking. Well, if anybody does that, just ban him for life out of the league. Well, then you would end up with nobody playing hockey. Because I don't know what it is. If you've ever played hockey, there's something about it. It's just a very physical game, and at some point, you're going to think about it. When that motherfucker gets you for like the fifth goddamn time, you got this club in your hand. And you think, I'm going to fucking come over there. I'm just going to fucking take a two-hander right to his fucking neck. But you don't. Because their biggest player will come over there and beat the living shit out of you in front of your fucking girlfriend or wife who's in the stands. See, did that make sense? Speaking of which, I'm actually playing hockey tonight. And yes, I do suck. I am a pond hockey player. I can only go frontwards and cross over on one side, but okay? I got the helmet with the full cage. You know, that's usually a sign that someone's going to be a cheap piece of shit. Anybody who has all the extra padding, that's because they know somebody's going to come up and try to retaliate. So they want to make sure that they're extra protected. I actually wear it because I know that if I was ever going to make it to the NHL, it would have happened by now. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that as a 42-year-old, I don't think I'm going to make it. So there's really no point in me getting the required 18 stitches that starts above my upper lip, goes through my lips, and comes down. Remember the Gary Galley one? That was the most insane fucking scar I've ever seen. Gary Galley, former Bruin. He's playing for the Boston. Then he went to the Kings, right? He's playing for the Bruins. He's in front of the net. Somebody gets cross-checked in their chest. The guy, like, he gets hit so hard that both his legs fly up into the air. He's like in the air in the seated position. He basically kicks Gary Galley in the face with his skate. Just sort of like as his legs are going up, the blade of the guy's skate catches Gary Galley's fucking chin, goes right through both his lips and right up the side of his face. And he had stitches from, I think, the side of his nose right down and right through both lips. Down. That was one of the worst ones I ever saw. And, you know, and I think that's good to conclude one of the worst podcasts I've ever fucking done. I felt like Sanchez during this whole podcast. At no point did I feel comfortable. I don't feel like I settled down. I feel like all my jokes went 10 feet over everybody's fucking head. And if I could have handed this mic off to somebody for the second half of it, you know, and let somebody kick the last joke through the uprights, I would have. Ah, fuck, I got to redeem myself. Did anything funny happen to me this week? I went out, I looked at some houses. I think I'm getting ready to go right back on the wheel again. You know, after talking about having no goddamn debt, I'm thinking about just going out and buying a house, maybe buying a fucking car. I want to buy something. You know, I want to fill the void like only an American can. Somebody sent me an email talking about how America's over. You know? Talking about how China is now they're going to be the shit. And you know what I say? Well, it's about fucking time. You know, China. How many goddamn fucking people do you have to make before you can take over some shit? China. That's the most overrated goddamn fucking country out there. You know? They got like a third of the world's population. How the fuck are you not the best? You should have the best guitar players, the best singers, the best actors, the best scientists, just out of sheer fucking numbers. What have you guys been doing over there? You've been slacking off with your fucking awful food, huh, and your dirty goddamn restaurants. Do you know I won't eat Chinese food because of that? I'm not saying Chinese people are bad people. That was like a Jeffrey Dahmer comment. I'm not saying Chinese people are bad food. I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm not saying they're not smart. I'm just saying I lived in New York City, and I used to be a fan of Chinese food. I am not a fan anymore, all right? And until they start getting some clean goddamn restaurants out there, I'm not fucking eating at them. That's it. I'm not saying you're bad people. I'm just saying what the fuck. Filthy. I'll only eat Chinese food. Who's kidding who? If I'm shit-faced, I'll eat anything. I don't give a fuck. But if I'm sober, the only way I'll eat Chinese food is if it's a cloth napkin, sit-down, nice fucking place. All right? And to be fair, that's why I don't eat barbecue. I'm not going into those goddamn shacks with those fucking flies the size of goddamn bumblebees. I'm not going in there. And I get it. That's the whole, poor people food. Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it. It looks like you've been dominated on some fucking level. Oh, with the dirty floors and the peanut shells. Fuck barbecue and fuck Chinese food. All right? I actually had some Lebanese food yesterday, which is just sort of all like Middle Eastern food, like that chicken kebabs and all that stuff was fucking insane. Tabbouleh salad. All right, I sign off on that. I sign off on Indian food. I sign off on these are all the ones I'll give you that I like. I like Japanese. I'll go with Korean barbecue. I'll go with that. Thai food. I like that shit. Chinese. I think Chinese food is the only one I won't fuck with. You know? And Mexican food. Mexican food has to be a certain cut or I'm not fucking with it. You know? When you go to some of those little shit shacks there, and they got the refried beans, and it just looks like, you know, it's like, does the health department even know this place exists? Okay, this is like a restaurant slash. It's like you turn the garage of your house into a fucking burrito factory. I'm not eating here. My girl likes to give me shit because I'll never get Chinese food. You know. And she thinks that there's something like borderline racist that I won't eat Chinese food. It's like, I have no problem with those people. You know, that's like overly thinking something. What I'm saying is I want a clean goddamn restaurant. Is that so wrong? All right. That's the podcast for this fucking week. I don't know. Am I wrong about that shit? I just, when I think Chinese food, I think dirty restaurant. That's what the fuck I think, because that has been my experience. So go ahead. We're going to take the next caller after this break. Hey, what would you guys do if I started doing commercials on my podcast as a way to make money? If right in the middle of calling somebody a cunt, I just did something for like True Value Hardware. Do they still exist, or were they bought out by Best Buy? Do they still exist? All right. Anyways. Oh, you know what? I actually forgot. Tonight. Nah, I can't say this shit because No, fuck it. I'm going to say it. I'm actually going to go see one of my favorite drummers of all time tonight. And JoJo Mayer is doing a drum clinic, and I'm going to go check that shit out. And if you want to see this guy, drummers out there, you got to fucking check this guy out. I'm going to have this up on the mmpodcast.com. It's JoJo Mayer performing. He plays like that drum and bass music. And it's him performing at the, I believe, 2005 Modern Drummer Festival. It's just a 3-minute clip. He could do like a roll with one hand. He's got that push-pull molar thing. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. But this guy is the shit. And I'm actually starting to like, I can't get into drum and bass, but I'm downloading some of his shit just because it's played by human beings. And I'm actually fascinated with drum and bass. Because it melds both the capabilities of technology and then the abilities of human beings to adapt to the technology and raise their level of performance. You know, remember that time when I told you guys about that whole how drum and bass music, that whole video that basically explained it. It was like a fucking drum break from a B-side of a 45. And then DJs took that drum loop, isolated every sound, and then switched it all up and created a whole bunch of different beats and then sped it up to the point that no human being could play it until a guy like JoJo Mayer sat down and figured out how to fucking do it. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I'm going to watch that guy tonight. I'm going to get my ass kicked out on the ice tonight playing hockey. And that's it. I'm going to be in New York, and I'm going to be doing spots around the city before I go down to Atlantic City, so I make sure that I am in shape for my big gig down there with Jim Norton, Jim Brewer, and Dave Attell. And I will probably be popping in at Gotham Comedy Club. I will be popping in at the Comedy Cellar. and Stand Up New York and the comic strip and Dangerfields. I'm going to be doing the whole fucking loop like I used to back in the old days. Back in the old days, which I guess they don't do that anymore. Now they book the clubs a month out and they just want you to work at the same club the whole week. But back in the day, you used to work like 3-4 clubs if you could on a weekend, and you'd have a 9 o'clock here, a 9:45 at another club, a 10:20 here, an 11:30 here, all the way to like 2 o'clock in the morning. And you'd get $50 a spot and you'd blow like a third of it on cabs, just driving all around the city, and you'd have a new idea for a bit, and in one night you could hash it out, just doing like, you know, sometimes up I think the most I ever did, I do like 8 sets in a night. It was fucking unbelievable. And it just caused you to write because you didn't want to say the same thing 8 times in one night. And you could flesh out a bit. I mean, that was basically like doing, you know, on most headline weekends, you only do 6 shows. So you would get 8 shows, on average 6. So it was like doing an entire weekend worth of shows in one night as far as running that same new bit. And it's incredible. And I wish the New York clubs would go back to doing that, because I really think that that was the system that created all the great comics that I watched when I came to New York. That's just my, that's my 2 cents. And I'm fucking sticking with it. That's it. You guys watch 60 Minutes, by the way? That just reminded me of fucking Andy Rooney. You guys been watching? We watch that every week, me and Nia, and we just laugh our asses off at that curmudgeonly old bastard. And what the fuck is going on with his upper lip? It's receded on both sides, yet the middle part still is fleshy. So now it looks like he has a pimple on his upper lip. All right, I got nothing, people. I'm talking about fucking Andy Rooney's upper lip, okay? The podcast is over, Bill. Tap out. It's over. Oh, congratulations to Pete Carroll. I was wrong about that Docker wearing white shoe Jerry Seinfeld sneaker son of a bitch. They came out to fucking play. Worst defensive performance I've ever seen with the Saints. And I don't know. I don't even know who the fuck they're playing next week. I'm just hoping that my Patriots, I'm praying that we're going to beat the Jets, because I have no fucking idea which defense is going to show up. But I'll tell you, if I'm the Patriots, I got to be thinking. All right, that's the podcast for this week. Everybody have a great week. Don't give out your information to these fucking corporations, for the love of God. And if you want to, go ahead and do it, stupid. All right? Go ahead and do it. But then don't be surprised when, you know, some psycho you dated from high school is standing on your front porch and has your fucking, all your information. All right, I couldn't even finish that sentence. Who gives a fuck? Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.